Time now for the Seattle Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show on your exclusive home for Thunderbirds hockey. 1090 KJR.
The final month of the regular season, the final nine games upon us, and the T-Birds continue their pursuit of a playoff spot. Second half goaltending has been rock solid, or should we say Ross solid. We talk about it all next on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
Now back to the Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show, a weekly look inside T-Birds hockey and the WHL. The Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show with Tom Boyning and head coach Matt Odette.
Well, the past couple of weekends have been like a mini playoff series or two for the Thunderbirds. 2 weekends ago, it was a 3-3. It saw them go 2-1. This past weekend, it was two very important games, and they earned 3 of 4 points. It adds up to them maintaining their lead for that final playoff spot in the Western Conference, the second wild card position. And now we go into another 3-3 weekend, somewhat again like a playoff series, and the stakes are on the line as they were the past couple of weeks, the same stakes. It begins with two road games. It will finish with a game on home ice. First up is the big head-to-head tilt as the T-Birds take on the team chasing them for that final playoff spot, the Kamloops Blazers. The T-Birds will travel up north to the Sandman Center for Friday night's battle. Saturday, the T-Birds are in Everett for yet another game against their division rivals, another game against the conference's top team. And then the weekend will conclude, finally, back on home ice versus Tri-City on Sunday. Sunday's 5 o'clock start, by the way, against the Americans is also Mascot Night, as well as Dachshund Toyota Beginner Fest. Tickets available online at SeattleThunderbirds.com. Coming up in the second half of our show, we'll have goaltender Ronnie Ross joining us, but right now it is time to bring in my co-host Andy Eide and, of course, the head coach Matt Odette. Matt, 9 games left on the schedule, but doesn't get any bigger than the game Friday night against Kamloops up there at the Sandman Center. There's a potential for a swing. Either your lead will shrink or you could potentially grow that lead for that final playoff spot. So I'm sure a lot of this week, in fact, I imagine all of it was focused on the Kamloops Blazer game coming up Friday night. Even though you've got 3 games in 3 this week, and that Kamloops game was, I'm sure, the singular focus for you and your coaching staff and the players.
Yeah. You know, like before, when we play 3 different teams over the course of a weekend, we tend to worry about what we're doing, cleaning some of the things up that we need to make us successful. But, you know, our next game is against Kamloops, so there's a little bit more focus on those guys. And obviously we know it's a big game, and, you know, we're trying to peak and ramp it up for Friday night.
This is going to be the last of the 4, obviously, that you're going to play against the Blazers head-to-head this season. They won the first 2. They were early in the season. They won them fairly convincingly. Now, the last time that you played them was here about a month ago, late January, and I think you could say you won that game convincingly. It was a 5-2 win, and that was after the trades and the roster reset. And I imagine that if you look at the season series between Seattle and Kamloops, it's kind of a representation of your season, the first half, a bit of a struggle with injuries, and then you get that second half reset with that new-look roster, and you played much better the second half, and that's kind of the way the series against Kamloops has gone to this point.
Yeah, I think, you know, the 2 games, the 2 early games against Kamloops were definitely not good games for us. I think the first one was kind of in the middle of a stretch, we were doing actually pretty well, playing pretty well. And I remember that night to be an ugly one, bit of an anomaly at the time. But then the second one, we were at a time where the team wasn't playing very well. And like you mentioned, the reset button was hit there. And, you know, just the general play from our team was better. General energy and vibe was better. And I think that the new look team obviously had a much better time the 3rd meeting against Kamloops.
And as big as a game that is Friday, you still have other games this weekend, and it's not a do-or-die game. How do you approach that with the guys that, in case it doesn't go your way? You don't want it to derail you or sink you. Like, oh, we didn't get that game, and now it's over, because there's still plenty of hockey to go, and you guys still control your own fate a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. We know it's a big game, you know, but all of them are big games from here on in. You know, we don't want to frame it as a do or die, because there are valuable points left throughout the weekend there. So it's one game at a time. This is a big one, just like the other ones. It's a 4-point game, so to speak. You're taking two away from them and adding two to your total. So, we'll ramp it up like a big game, but keep everything in perspective.
And I think we mentioned this last week that your schedule, compared to all the other teams battling for a playoff spot in the Western Hockey League, was the toughest. I think your opponents at that time had a winning percentage just under 70%. It's not getting any easier. You're still, in fact, probably tougher now, although this Camelos game is against team against the last team on your schedule under 500. Everything else is against teams above 500. Look back, 20 of your final 21 games, when all is said and done, against teams with winning records, primarily against the U.S. division. How has that sharpened your team here the second half of the season? Because you've been a better team the second half. And, part of that is, as we said, that roster reset, but I'm sure just the competition helps kind of sharpen your edge as well.
Yeah, it's kind of you're battle tested. We're certainly battle tested within the U.S. division. Just playing against good teams every night, you have no choice but to be better and play better. So I think that's been a factor there. Playing teams multiple times in a short period of time, you kind of come up with some adjustments and some tendencies that can help us, and we've done that. The U.S. division's good, like it is every year, and I think it, just being in that level of competition helps improve your team.
And is there a part of you or the team, you guys are all competitors, that likes the fact that you have the toughest division, that you don't want to just coast in? I mean, obviously you like to win games, but is there a positive under this, that you actually kind of like having this tough road?
Yeah, we're pretty stubborn, I think, and and defiant. So yeah, we like the challenge, we welcome the challenge, and does it make earning it feel a lot much better? I think it does, especially when you're taking points from your rivals. That's the added bonus to it. But I think it'll feel good either way if we were able to clinch a playoff spot.
And the T-Birds going into a crucial 3-3 weekend. Coming off of last weekend, you played Everett and Portland. Again, those are two of the top teams, not just in the Western Conference, but you look at their records, they're top five, both of them in the Western Hockey League. And you come out of there with 3 out of 4 points, and that's obviously, a terrific way to come out of that weekend. Now, you had the 3-0 lead against Portland in that second game, and they come back, they tie it, and they win the game in the shootout. The small picture is you'd love to have had that extra point that kind of got away from you. Big picture, 3 out of 4 points, though. Is it easy to get over a game like that in that situation, knowing that you still had that good weekend, or is that going to hang with you?
I think big picture-wise, we're happy with 3 out of 4. But we're not happy with kind of giving up the lead and not getting that extra point. It's nice to get out to a good start, but it's what you do from there that helps you, seal these games. And, it's happened a couple times here recently where we've had multiple goal leads and they slipped from our fingers there. And it's a combination of not being used to being up multiple goals, and that is a part of it, and then just learning how to close teams out and what not to do when you have these leads to let teams creep back in the games. And we let Portland do that.
And you got that lead pretty early on in that game, 3-0 in the first 9 minutes or so, and they pulled their goalie, and you and I talked after the game how that can, sometimes goalies get pulled not because they're playing bad, but to spark the team, which it seemed like it did. But on the other end of that, when you're the team that chases that goalie that early, is there a natural tendency to maybe let up a little bit? Like, oh, we've got the strength of the lead, we chase their goalie, we're doing pretty well here, and maybe get off your game plan a little bit?
Yeah, I think that can happen a little bit. They got a boost from it. And the goalie came in and played well, which is also helps. You're at that point where, it's the game's teetering one way or the other. If they get that next goal, then the game tightens up. If we get that fourth goal, then, it's a different story the rest of the way. So their goalie made some saves that denied us the fourth goal, and, they were able to get the ball rolling with the first goal. And, Got the second one not too long after that. So it's, you know, we talk about momentum all the time, and maybe changing their goalie gave them a little bit of spark to help the momentum go in their favor, and we didn't do a good enough job to stifle that.
T-Birds will be on the road for the first two games of this busy weekend. Don't forget, though, they are home Sunday against Tri-City, 5 o'clock game time. Tickets available online at SeattleThunderbirds.com. Matt, you've had a young group of defensemen the entire year. You know, you go back to the first half of the season, you had your most veteran defenseman in Jared Tyshka out of the lineup for a good chunk of that, and then he gets back and you traded Reese Harsh, and so you kind of got even younger at the deadline. And then this past weekend, you've got Simon Kubicek out with injury, Cade McNelly with a suspension. You bring in Luke Bateman, the affiliated player, and he takes some of those minutes up, so you're even younger. So how important has it been in this second half charge to have a healthy Jared Tyshka in the lineup among that group, somebody with some logged a lot of Western Hockey League minutes so far in his Western Hockey League career?
Yeah, it's big to have a guy with that experience. You know, he's logging 30-ish minutes a game with those guys out, and it's what we were missing the first 25 games, is that veteran presence. I think, in my opinion, it's a 19 and 20 year old defenseman league. If you got multiple guys like that can, you know, if you want to contend, you got to have that experience on the back end. And if you look at the top teams in the league, they do have that. Whatever it comes to mind in particular. But our young D have done a great job. Tyshka, since he's been back, has helped lead these guys with his experience, and the guys have developed well. And that's what the extra minutes can do for these guys. It kind of accelerates their progression and the way they develop, and we're starting to see some of the dividends there.
And you also added a little bit of more depth up front the trade deadline. You brought in Rybinski and Jerry Leon and guys like that. How much of the forwards played a role in helping that young defense, you know, getting back, being available for outlet passes and so forth?
Yeah, it's a big factor. You got more depth up front. You're carrying more of the play. You're not in your end as much. It allows our D to spend more time on the offensive blue line as opposed to being hemmed in our own end. So having forwards that can, you know, transition the puck and get it into the other team's end and keep it there can obviously take some of the pressure off our D, and I think that's been a big factor here in the second half.
And you do have a defenseman in Jake Lee, who's projected to be an NHL draft pick, and he's still young, but he has talent. Obviously, that's been recognized. But what about a guy like Owen Williams and his progression now, how important he's been to your team the second half as he's gotten into a role where he's logging those top 4 minutes?
Yeah, he's a guy that stepped up for us. The middleman. You know, we've got the real young guys, and then we've got Tyshka is the one older guy, and then he's kind of the guy in the middle there. But, you know, we've needed him to step up and kind of take on a bigger role playing against some of the other team's top guys. He's able to do that because of his skating ability. And, we've paired him up recently with Tyshka and given those guys the assignment to play against the quicker, more dynamic lines for the opposition. It's been an adjustment that's worked out well for us, and he's done well in that role and that responsibility. And I think, having Tyrell Bauer just a little bit less responsibility for a 16-year-old kid has definitely helped him as well. And he's playing really good hockey for us too.
And you're going to be without McNelly this weekend. He's been assessed a four-game suspension for the hit against Everett last week. And he served out one of those games. But of his three suspensions now, that was more of the hockey play type of hit. You know, he had one for a one-man fight, the other one for cross-checking a guy after the whistle. That was more in lines of a hockey play, just a little high. Again, you have to develop these guys, and you're still teaching him the right way to make some of those hits, some of that contact. But talk about, you know, his game recently, I thought, has been improved. He's been shooting more. Got his first goal here recently. But, again, you're constantly, I'm sure, trying to teach him the right way now to use that physicality he likes to employ.
Yeah. He's been a valuable guy for us. Like you mentioned, he's been improving a lot. His overall game is getting better, and it's allowing him to play more and show what he can do. you know, we are always working with him. It's a work in progress to kind of get him to control his emotions and you know, tone down the kind of, you know, the situations that can get him into trouble. And he's done a lot better. He's matured in that way. You know, it's, we always say as coaches, you'd rather try to tone a guy down and rather than trying to get a heartbeat out of a guy, and he certainly got the heartbeat. It just needs to be channeled in the right way, and those type of hits were great hits not too long ago, but right now in today's hockey they're not. So we're working with him to have him, you know, combat those situations in other ways and kind of eliminate some of those dangerous hits from his repertoire. And but his game's coming around. He, you know, he's going to be a really good defenseman in this league, and you know, he just needs to keep working on those aspects of the game.
And with guys like McNelly, who was not a draft pick, he came here, you know, as a camp invite and earned his way on. And there's other guys like that. Always, you're from your, you know, how, speak to a little bit to like the work ethic it takes for those guys. How impressive that is when they're not somebody who came in here with almost, you know, a spot. He had to really earn every minute he's gotten here.
Yeah, it's you know, in today's hockey, there, to be honest, there's a lot of entitlement and, you know, guys that have been touted their whole lives and things like that. And McNelly's definitely a story of a kid that just wants it. He wants it. He wants to play hockey. You know, he's refuses to kind of be denied, and he's going to do whatever it takes to make it. And we saw that from day one in training camp. He was doing absolutely anything he can to make the team and get himself noticed. And here he is. He's come a long way, and it's a great story. You know, you don't see as much of that nowadays, but you know, it, as coaches, as an organization, you know, you want players to earn what they get and kind of take away some of that entitlement. It's you know, it's a, you know, a business where things are earned, and that's an example there where a guy's been rewarded for it.
Well, again, the T-Birds going into a busy weekend of hockey here, just 9 games left on the schedule. They are in a fight for a playoff spot. They're not in that fight without good goaltending, and Roddy Ross, who's been that good goaltending for Seattle, will join us in the second half. The head coach will be back with us as well right here on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
This is the Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show on 1090 KJR.
And welcome back to the Weekly Coaches Show as the T-Birds preparing for a busy weekend of hockey. Reminder, the T-Birds' lone home game of the three comes up on Sunday. It is mascot night, as well as Dachshund Toyota Beginner Fest. Tickets available online at SeattleThunderbirds.com. Well, the T-Birds, as we talk about it with the head coach, Matt Audette, did a reset of their roster in January, and one of the resets was in goal. And didn't have to pay a steep price, if a price at all, to upgrade the goaltending after trading away Liam Hughes. You know, I was thinking about this. The T-Birds' last game was against Portland. Portland sent 4 draft picks, including 2 first-rounders, to Swift Current to get Joel Hofer, and T-Birds chased him in 6 minutes of play. Seattle didn't have to, you know, invest any draft capital to bring in our guest, Roddy Ross. They just had to list him, sign him. And that's probably a task in itself to convince a young man to come and play here. And we got him, and here he is with us on the show. And, Roddy, just kind of talk about that experience, because you're probably unaware that you're being watched back in a preseason game in September. You're playing for Canmore by the owner of the Seattle Thunderbirds of the Western Hockey League, and he's so impressed by you, he gets on the phone with his GM, his scouts, and his goaltending coach and says, you got to look at this guy. And they eventually – they list you, they obviously then sign you and bring you in. But you're probably unaware at the time that that's going on in the organization here. You're just playing with the Canmore team and just hoping to have a good season.
Yeah. I mean, it was Camrose.
Camrose, excuse me.
Yeah. But, I mean, I got lucky to have my first start in Spruce Grove there and play as good as I did, I guess. And I think we won or lost 2-1 or something. And it just happened to be there, and that's where I happened to have my best game at, and it just all worked out. I mean, yeah, I didn't find out till after that. My coach told me that, like, he's the owner and stuff. And then I started to get more, like, into it. I started to look into it a little, and then here I am, I guess, and just started working out.
Well, it just proves what we always say, that the difference between fans watching games north of the border and south of the border, everybody in Canada watching is a scout. They think their coach is a scout, and here's an owner who played hockey, and he's evaluating talent at a game that his team's involved in, and he sees an opposing player that he believes can benefit one of his teams. But you have to sign, obviously, to play here. What was the deciding factor, or was some of the deciding factors in that decision to come to the Western Hockey League and be a Seattle Thunderbird?
Well, just the organization was the start. Like this, I heard so much good things. And then I guess the other thing, it's been something I always wanted to do. And I heard a lot of people like regretting not doing it. And I didn't want to be the guy to be regretting something my whole life. And why not just do it? And there you go.
And you've been here now a couple months in the Western Hockey League with Seattle. And how much of an adjustment is it coming from the Alberta Junior League to this league? Obviously, it's a step up as far as, you know, top to bottom quality of players. But what's been maybe the biggest difference for you that you've had to adjust to?
I guess just watching the skill, who's coming down, who you're working, who you're playing against, and who you're like, yeah, pretty much like who you're playing against. I guess just really just watch the teams, like just watch the highlights and just know who you're going against and just do your thing, I guess. That was the big thing.
Is there more video session here than there was with cameras?
For me, a goalie, I don't think so. I think I've always liked to watch my videos, and I don't think that's changed. But I think it's a lot better quality videos to watch your adjustments and stuff. But other than that, I think it's the same.
I would imagine another adjustment is that when you come here, they have a goaltending coach in Ian Gordon, and you're going to have to now work with him. But talk about how that fits into who you've been working with, and how do you adjust to another voice kind of in your head going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I had a goalie coach in Cameron's there. He actually knew Gordon, so I guess that helped out a lot. It worked out. Like, they pretty much knew. Like, he was talking the same stuff. It wasn't totally different. So I guess coming here, changing goalie coaches, that wasn't too big of an adjustment. But I think Gordon's helped me out a lot so far, and it's been going good.
And watching you play, you have a very calm demeanor in the net. You never look really rattled no matter what's going on. Is that something you work on, or is that just your natural personality that just extends into your play on the ice?
That, I think that's just natural. It's just something, I think it's just something I like to, so like so much doing that it's calm. I mean, I like playing hockey so much that it's just nothing worried about, takes away from what's going on out and just happens, you know. So it's good.
You mentioned part of the preparation, you know, a video, but getting to know the teams you're going up against. The last game here at Portland, it went to a shootout. In fact, you've been in two shootouts with the T-Birds so far since joining the team. But in regulation in that game, Cody Glass had a breakaway, and I think he went to your left. And then I noticed in the shootout, he went to your right. Were you thinking about that?
No, I wasn't thinking about anything. I was just thinking, stop it, you know, just do it. And I wasn't really thinking. I didn't, you know, like he went left. I don't even. Sometimes I don't even remember who shot on me on the shot there. I just do it. And
well, he didn't score on either of those, by the way. So that's good. But were you familiar with the shootout format, or is it just okay? This is kind of like a penalty shot.
No, I think I'm more comfortable when someone's coming down on a breakaway. But in a shootout, it's a little different, but it's the same thing, I guess, but a little different.
And coming into this team and this division, the U.S. division is kind of known for some of the crowds here. You've played in front of the home crowd at Shower Center, but last week you got a taste of playing in Everett in front of 8,000 fans. And what's it like playing in front of both as an away player in Everett and then also playing in front of the home crowd here?
It's great. I mean, I was waiting until they started cheering me on there, saying something, one of their chants or something. They didn't get to do that, so I was unfortunate. But no, I love the big crowds. It's great. I mean, it motivates me, and it's just fun to play against.
You know. You recently had your headgear painted up. You'd been wearing the white headgear for a while, but now you've got your own personal touches on it. Obviously, there's a team concept to it as well. But talk about some of the personal touches that you put onto your headgear, what it means to you.
The most personal would be the feathers. I think a lot of people notice those, and that's just something I like to show and just be proud of who I am, I guess, and that's just one of the big things I got on there. And the back part is also a Indian on a horse there. That's also a picture I've always liked, and it's called The Last Ride, I'm pretty sure, and that's just a picture that I always liked there, and yeah, those got to be the thing, I guess, so just being proud.
Is this the first time you've had a painted mast with that kind of detail on it, and how exciting was that?
It's actually one of the third times, I think.
Okay.
But it's always something I did is throw a feather on or just make sure to show that, hey, guys, I'm First Nations, and like I like it, you know, and I like to show that off in my helmets, and it's a perfect way to do it.
So. And lastly, I had a fan ask me, is Roddy short for something, or is that your given name?
No, that's my given name, yeah.
So do you have a nickname going forward that attaches to Roddy?
No, it's just been Roddy, but fans like to come out with some names, so I like to laugh at those, so that's good.
Broadcasters, too, occasionally do that, but you fit in perfectly with the team. Obviously, a big reason why this team is battling for a playoff spot, and we had Matt on, and, you know, we talked to players, too, and, you know, I remember, I think I was talking to Nolan last week. I think it might have been Noah Philp as well, both kind of had the same kind of answer to the question. You have fun when you're in a playoff chase like this down the stretch. It's intense, but it's also fun to be part of.
Yeah, I'm excited. Like, we've been playing really good, and we got a team that's gonna roll, and I think it'll be fun here coming up, and I think we'll be good here.
Well, Roddy, welcome to the team, and good luck going forward. It's been a terrific 2 months so far, and finish strong and take this team into the postseason.
All right, thanks for having me.
Let's bring back in head coach Matt Odette ahead of this busy weekend of action. And I think Andy alluded to this in the first half of the show. When that game Friday night in Kamloops is over, no matter the result, you will still occupy a playoff spot. We just don't know how many points you'll be up, whether you're going to add to your lead or your lead will shrink. But you still have more difficult games on the schedule, including the two other games this coming weekend. So you know there's a lot of points still available as you go here into the month of March now that we're out of the month of February, and you battle for that. You're going to play the top three teams in the Western Conference five times in those final eight. It's a lot of pressure with a young team. So how do your coaches approach that with them? You can rely on some of those veterans I know who've been through the battles for the playoffs. Obviously, you have some of that back with you, but it is a young team. How do you impress upon them the importance of each game and leaving the last game behind and focusing again on that next game on the schedule?
Yeah, it's not easy. You do rely on your veterans. We've got, you know, a handful of guys that have been through the wars and know what it feels like to be in pressure situations. So, you know, those guys can rub off on the younger guys. And I think a big thing at this time of year is, you know, keep it fun at the rink. You know, kind of, you don't want to, you know, I think if you stick to your routines and you stick to what you do on a daily basis as far as your culture, you know, it just feels normal. Big games feel normal, just like another game, and can help spell some of the nerves that might come up from that stuff, you know, sticking to your routine. But our older guys lead the way. They do a good job with our young kids, and I think, if anything, our young kids can give us excitement and energy at this time of year. And, you know, but like I said, it's as long as it's fun coming to the rink, you know, guys will keep pushing forward.
And Saturday night you have a rematch with Everett up there, and it's been a tough matchup this year for you, but you've got two wins in a row now against them, including one in their building last weekend. It's still going to be a tough task, obviously, but does your team have a little bit more confidence going into those now that you've had some success with them? It's been a frustrating, you know, matchup.
Yeah, it's you know, now that we've broken through and gotten a couple wins against those guys, gotten a win against them in their building, we know what can be done. It's kind of like when they broke the 4-minute mile. As soon as someone did that, people knew it was possible, and it happened many times. But, yeah, we know we can win in there. We've proved it, and that obviously raises our confidence level going back in there on Saturday.
And we mentioned now your schedule is more difficult than the teams you're involved in this chase for the playoff spot, but there's nothing you can do about that. You can only focus on your schedule, the team right in front of you, whoever is playing you that night. But it still, again, comes down to how your guys do prepare and how they do go out and play. We talked about that last game against Portland. You get that 3-goal lead, but you can't hold on to it. You have to take it shift by shift.
Yeah, exactly. We got that 3-0 lead and, maybe lost some of our details and allowed them to come back into it. But, yeah, that's part of, having a young team is, learning how to close out games. But, it's nice to be in those scenarios and not chasing from behind 3 goals. So those are positives that we're getting those leads. Obviously, we have to do a better job to finish the job and come up with the 2 points.
Well, again, a busy weekend of hockey for the T-Birds as they go at it both Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The Sunday game at home, and that is a 5 o'clock start. Tickets available online at SeattleThunderbirds.com. Well, again, thanks to our guest, goaltender Ronnie Ross, head coach Matt Audette, and co-host Andy Iden. We will hear from you Friday night in Kamloops when the T-Birds take on the Blazers in that important game in the battle for that playoff spot right here on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
This has been the Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show with Tom Boyning and head coach Matt Audette. Join us again next Thursday night at 6 on your home for Thunderbirds hockey, 1090 KJR.